I'm Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus. I had a mid-pandemic conversation recently with Eric Whitaker, who recorded himself from his home in Los Angeles, about his most recent virtual choir, Virtual Choir 6, Sing Gently. This most recent virtual choir is also your largest, and it's coming to fruition at a time when the pandemic has motivated a lot of choirs worldwide to go virtual. I gather that the pandemic likewise inspired your most recent virtual choir. How so?
Yeah, well, when we finished Virtual Choir 5, this was a year and a half ago, it was all about the Hubble Space Telescope. And in our video for it, we'd gone sort of to the edges of the known universe. And I think at that point, we thought that was as far as we could take the virtual choir genre. And when the pandemic hit in March here, that's when I thought, no, actually, if ever there was a time for a virtual choir, we need to make one now. And so I was inspired personally by what I was seeing around me, which was that suddenly people on the street, you know, people just walking toward you, strangers on the street, they became a threat. They became dangerous. And I thought, my God, I could really feel the fabric of society tearing. And also in my own little world, where I work with singers as a profession, we were seen as super spreaders. It became a very dangerous thing just to get together and sing. And with all of that, I thought, I think maybe the best way forward in this is to sing gently as a metaphor, to live compassionately, empathetically with each other, and to do it together. It's the only way we're going to make it through it. So that was the big inspiration for the piece.
You wrote the text and the music for Sing Gently. Tell us about this piece and its text and what you were really trying to convey in it, especially in the present moment.
Yeah. So for this one, I wrote the words and the music. I typically only write the music, but I was incredibly moved by what I was seeing around me, and especially these acts of service, people helping others. And I wanted to write about that. And so I knew that we would have a big choir. I didn't know that there would be 17,500 singers, but I knew it would be big. And I wanted to make the poetry then as simple and as accessible as possible. So I just had that very simple idea to sing gently, to sing as one, and using the singing as a metaphor for living together, living gently, living as one. And then the music came afterwards. And again, with the music, I tried to make it as simple and delicate and as accessible as I could, knowing that we would be having singers from all over the world and that the singers would all be coming to the project with different levels of expertise, that we would have some semi-pro or professional singers, but that we would also have lots and lots of people who had never been in a choir before. And so I wanted to make the music simple enough that they would be able to really participate and to feel it in their bones when they were singing.
Interesting that you say that one of the things that kind of, I guess, led you in the direction of this piece were the acts of service that you may have seen early on in the pandemic days here in the United States. Were there specific acts of service that you observed and that moved you that you recall at this point in time?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the first one that pops to my mind didn't happen here in the States. It was in the UK. And I used to live in London, so I have a lot of friends over there, and both my managers are over there. So I'm in tune with what's happening there. And there was a day where they called for volunteers that might just provide comfort or company, volunteers who could get food or get medicine for elderly people or people who couldn't get to it. And they had over 500,000 people volunteer on the first day. It was amazing to me. And then I started seeing it here, and huge acts of service, you know, just talking about the frontline workers, people who are putting their lives on the line every day and the lives of their loved ones to help other people. And then in very, very small ways, My son and I have actually been doing this here in Los Angeles, where we've signed up with a service that just connects you to elderly people who have no one else, who are living alone, and just a chance to talk to them and to make sure that they're doing okay and keep them part of the social fabric. So acts of service, big and small.
Back to Sing Gently, at the risk of making everything sound cliched, which it is not, the text of Sing Gently suggests that singing, whether you are actually singing or you are listening to others sing together, is really a gift to other people, a gift to us all.
Yeah, I don't think it's a cliche at all. I embrace this idea fully. I've been involved with choirs and singing now for over 30 years, both as a composer and as a conductor. And I do believe that singing together is the silver bullet. Something extraordinary happens when people come together and sing. If you've ever been in a room where you've had a group of people stand in front of a conductor and you all take that breath together, boom, and you launch in together, you are immediately part of something larger than yourself. And that feeling then follows you out into the world. And I think you see, well, we know scientifically, there's hard data that shows that people who sing score higher on tests of compassion and of empathy. And that we also know that it's a silver bullet in terms of education. We know, again, hard data that shows that students who sing together or perform in musical ensembles do better in class across the board, regardless of whether the class is music or not. I think it teaches language skills. I think it gives a sense of a larger world around people. So yeah, if I go on my soapbox about singing, I could go on and on.
Some of the materials I received about this virtual choir 6 say that this choir is a testament to diversity, accessibility, and inclusivity, and much more than a musical project, it's a community. This virtual choir has more than 17,000 singers from more than 170 countries across really the range of choir experiences, as you mentioned earlier. In what ways is this virtual choir, maybe more so than the others you've created, a community?
Well, yeah, speaking to the diversity, I mean, we have all races, colors, creeds represented. We have singers as young as 5 and as old, I think, as 92 or 93 in this virtual choir. And then this time around, we had tools and helped people who normally would not be able to sing in a traditional choir at all. So I think we have 14 or 15 deaf signers. They're not singing, but they're signing along with us. There's members of the cystic fibrosis community. These are people that, because of their condition, couldn't possibly sing in a traditional choir ever, just be too dangerous, but they're able to join, a pretty vibrant community that we've got joined with us. So we try to be as inclusive as we possibly can.
Of choral music educators and conductors of professional choral ensembles lately. One topic that always came up in our conversations was what their plans are for their ensembles in this time of pandemic, you know, in light of the need for social distancing and in light of, as you mentioned earlier, one medical school of thought that singers are virus super spreaders. And while on the one hand, we've been seeing a fair number of virtual choirs in the last 4 months out there, on the other hand, I have definitely noticed a pronounced, I would say, bias against virtual choirs, even in this environment of social distancing that we're in right now, that they just can't replicate the experience of singing together in the same room with a choir. Obviously, you're not only a virtual choir proponent, you're really, you know, the creator of the virtual choir as a phenomenon. But could you talk about this virtual choir controversy, if I can use that word?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you say, there are lots of professional and non-professional musicians who believe that virtual choirs will never replace or could never replace the phenomenon of singing together in a group in real person. They are right. I can't say that strongly enough. They're almost two different genres. The act of making a virtual choir is so different than singing in a traditional choir. I mean, first you have everybody alone in their own rooms. So you don't get the sense of community, immediate community while you're singing. Then the whole beauty of choir is that singing together, your voices blend with others and that it smooths over the rough edges. Your voice doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be perfect for the ensemble. And when you sing with a virtual choir, you can hear every mistake you're making. I've tried recording my own. You know, I conduct these things, but I've also tried recording my own as a singer. And it's an absolute nightmare. You just hear every, and also that you've got dogs barking in the background and crickets and your camera falls over. It's not at all the same thing. What is extraordinary is that somehow, some way, the act of making the virtual choir seems to elicit feelings in the singers that are incredibly similar to singing in a traditional choir. That they talk all the time in our virtual choirs about a sense of community and feeling connected and feeling part of something larger than themselves. And people will write these beautiful, teary emails or messages to us saying, I missed singing with other people so much. Thank you for giving us this. Even though they're not in a room with anybody else, even though they will probably never meet a single other person who has been in one of these choirs. It's an extraordinary thing. So in no way can it ever replace it. And God knows I can't wait to get back to traditional music making. But it's as a different genre, as a testament to the human spirit and what I believe is a fundamental need in humans, which is to get together and make music. It's the best we've got right now.
Right. And we do have the technology. And at the end of it, there is a sense of we did this together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the results. And I have to say, like, in terms of building community, this time around, we really embraced that the final video is quite beautiful. And as you say, it has 17,572 singers in it, singers from all over the world. That's extraordinary. But the final product is secondary, really, to the process of making it. And online, we've had group global rehearsals where I'm leading singers, you know, from around the world in real time. They're all following me, sitting at my piano, as I lead a rehearsal. We've had lots of instructional videos, not only about the poetry but how to sing. We've got a very, very active Facebook group. I think there's 22 or 23,000 people in it now. People talking about music and singing and technology. And so for us, the building of the community has been primary, and the video itself is really secondary.
How many rehearsals did you have for this?
I think I had a total of 8. So I did sectionals, right? So I do soprano, alto, tenor, or bass. And that was fun too, because it all over the world, singers are always the same, right? Altos show up and it's alto power. And the tenors, hey, the tenors are here. And I would do those. And then I think I did 2 each of all of those, so maybe 10 total, and then 2 combined rehearsals. And again, these rehearsals couldn't be further from a traditional rehearsal. You know, I'm broadcasting live on YouTube. I'm sitting at my piano and playing along and talking about the music and leading people through their parts, but I can't hear a single person singing back to me. And, you know, sometimes I would say, are all of you out there? Is anybody actually singing while I'm doing this? But amazingly, they were. And so thousands of singers attended these things, and again, seemed to be having this experience that was as if they were in the same room singing with other people. It was really magical.
And let's hope that, as you mentioned earlier, someday soon you all can be in the same room together, all 17,500 of them, and you.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus. Once again, Eric Whitaker, we've been talking about your virtual choir 6, which features your new work, Sing Gently. Thank you so much for your time today.
I'm honored to talk with you. Thank you.